was growing cold on the mountain, and I checked my watch. I realized I would need to hustle to get back to the tour bus that had taken us into the Japanese countryside for a hiking excursion. I was about to start jogging back towards the meeting place when I heard some chanting and singing from a thick patch of forest. I checked my watch and I figured I'd have time to just see what was going on. I trekked through the swaying maple trees and made it to a small clearing, and then I stopped in my tracks. Dancing around a campfire was a group of huge, monstrous humanoid creatures. They had long, wild black hair, each one with different combinations of eyes, fangs, and horns sprouting from their foreheads. Each monster was nearly naked save for a loincloth, and in each hand they carried a massive club with spikes and studs covering them. These creatures were singing and dancing, taking huge swigs from giant gourds, each beast with skin of bright green, red, or blue. They seemed to be celebrating a feast of some kind as something was roasting on the spit over the fire, something that looked a bit too lean to be a wild boar with long limbs, more like... I fell to my knee and retched, the realization of these monsters' diet terrifying and sickening. I frantically wiped at my mouth, realizing that they might have heard me, and looked up to see a massive creature standing before me. The creature's hands darted forward, grabbed me by my neck, and lifted me up so I could stare into the creature's three eyes. It laughed as I struggled against its superhuman grip, and with a mouth full of massive teeth, it said, "My name is Rick Kitagawa, and this is the Inner Monster Podcast." The Japanese oni, or ogre, is sort of a generalized stock bad guy in most Japanese mythology. Whether it's the famous Peach Boy story of Momotaro, or the tale of Kobutori Jisan, or the woodcutter who gives away his lump, which is kind of a weird story, but if you need a monster of some sort, you can just throw in a bunch of oni and it'll probably do. Oni are typically described as having sharp claws, huge fangs that protrude from their mouths, wild hair, and skin that is typically green, blue, or red, although really, they can be any color and are occasionally described as having black or yellow skin. Oni usually also have horns, occasionally growing out of their foreheads, or potentially with a third eye growing there. They're generally humanoid, but are usually on the larger side with the build of a stereotypical bruiser who goes around smashing things. The oni typically have superhuman strength, walk around with loincloths, usually made of tiger pelts, and carry a huge studded iron club, also known as a kanabo, to smash people and things with. I wanted to talk about oni this week because I think they're often misunderstood. They're constantly demonized, and okay, to be fair, they often eat humans, but if we are part of their natural diet, is it really so bad? I mean, tigers and lions eat us as well, and that's a natural part of life, and while I'm not saying that we all need to bring oni into our homes to devour us, I do think that perhaps we should try to extend some empathy towards them, which, of course, is what I'd like to talk about today. Recently, empathy has become sort of a buzzword. Every thought leader in business and psychology has talked about how important empathy is as a leader. And I 100% agree with this. Empathy is huge in building culture and teamwork, in motivating teams, and creating the conditions for both creativity and innovation. But empathy seems hard to practice, especially when we're asked to have empathy for those we disagree with, are making our own lives more difficult, or even those who actively may want us dead. And I think that part of the reason why people brush off empathy so quickly is that I think empathy is often confused with sympathy or acceptance. So let me explain here. To have empathy for someone is really being able to really see this other person and understand why they may have acted or said what they did. While it might not be logical to you given your background, it might actually be logical considering this other person's specific background. It is the ability to hold the space in your mind that even though you might vehemently disagree with them, you can also understand what makes them behave how they do. And this is very different from sympathizing with them. Sympathy is different in that not only do you understand the other party's rationale, but you also have experienced it yourself. It's expressing sorrow as you know what they've gone through, or that you understand and grieve with and for that person. You are, in this case, accepting that this person's reality is similar to one you know and understand, and when it comes to a lens of tolerance, it's more of a, I get what you're going through and it's okay to be feeling acting like you do. To see how this plays out, let's look at the difference between empathy and sympathy with an example. White nationalists. You know, the people who pretty much everybody agrees universally that this group is racist in the way that white nationalists specifically talk about being racist. And for these hateful people who would very much be happy with me not existing due to the color of my skin, I do have empathy for them, even though I have very little sympathy for them. What this means is that I understand where their rage and hate comes from. Just as I grew up in a household that taught me that your ethnic background and skin color doesn't reflect the quality of who you are as a person, most of these people grew up in entire communities that taught them that all of this stuff does matter. It matters a lot because their entire identity is often wrapped up in that, and that pride in whiteness is all that they have. Whether they're dealing with the ravaging effects of the opioid epidemic, mass underemployment, or even if they're wealthy and living in blue states, when your entire life revolves around a specific part of your identity, and now people are telling you that this identity is causing society's downfall, of course you are going to be upset and angry. And to accept that, you would basically have to give up your entire way of life, and friends, family, social network. You give up a lot, essentially. So I understand that, and it does sadden me that these people are also victims in a system of white supremacy that puts so much emphasis on race. However, I do not condone, accept, or tolerate their beliefs, as they promote violence against other people for no good reason. You see, I empathize, meaning I can understand where these people are coming from, but I also strongly disagree with them. I do not accept or tolerate beliefs like that and refuse to do business with people or organizations that support hateful belief structures. I wholeheartedly believe that, as painful as it may be, deriving your self-esteem from an imaginary superiority over others is not healthy for anyone, including the believer. When we scapegoat others for imaginary reasons for our legitimate problems, we're not doing anything to actually change things, and we're focusing on the problem, not the actual solution. So I hope that clears up the difference between empathy and sympathy. And you might be asking yourself, if empathy is the simple fact of being able to understand where others are coming from, what's the big deal? It's a big deal because empathy is incredibly powerful when you're faced with someone you don't agree with. If you never manage to understand the other person's point of view, you'll never understand what they care about and how to best align the change you're seeking to make with what they care about. If your boss only cares about profit, until you show them that the research that shows how building belonging at work can increase returns, they're not going to approve your budget request for a new employee resource group. If you're confronting your racist uncle at Thanksgiving, if you don't figure out what problem they have exactly with whatever ethnic group he's railing about, you're never going to convince him to stop being such a bigot. If you don't understand your dream client's hopes, fears, and dreams, it's unlikely that they're going to buy your new SaaS product, especially since you're not aligning your product with what they care about. So if you're still on the fence about empathy's power, perhaps think of it as customer research? And interestingly enough, many of the skills you need to do solid customer research are skills that help build empathy. The ability to actively listen to the other person. Keeping an eye out and interpreting nonverbal communication. Asking questions that dig a bit deeper. Being able to keep quiet and let the other person process their thoughts and share more. These things all help you build the empathy muscle, as it's hard to have empathy for someone when you have no idea how their brain works. Listening opens yourself up to learn more about the other person and allows you to have greater insight into what their worldview is and what drives them as a person. Honestly, most people will tell you if you are open and genuinely curious about them and simply ask them about their story. It is incredibly powerful to actually understand exactly what the other party is thinking, and while often you'll be making best guesses and assumptions, asking someone to tell you what they want and care about is going to be the closest you'll probably ever get, and empathy unlocks that. Beyond empathy helping you understand others and aligning your goals with theirs, an interesting side benefit of empathy is that when you ask people for their story, it sometimes helps clear up your own. I had a coaching client who once went in for an interview, and they basically ended up having to drive the entirety of the interview. They had to ask questions and mainly got blank stares, silence, and awkwardness in return. So they pretty much ran the whole interview, even to the point of having to actually end the call, as their interviewer seemed totally awkward and dumbfounded most of the time. And my client felt that they must have screwed up somehow, or been too aggressive, and they were just really feeling not great. But after getting more information and context, we started looking at the interviewers through a lens of empathy and realized that they probably were actually much less experienced than my client had initially thought, and that they were reacting to their lack of experience with embarrassment and not really knowing what to say. Of course, later we found out that the interviewers were incredibly impressed by my client, but by looking at the experience with a lens of empathy for others, my client was able to keep from telling themselves a painful, self-defeating story about themselves and how they showed up at the interview. And so not only does empathy allow you to change the minds of other people, it can also help change your own mind about yourself. Empathy, once again, is not condoning or sympathizing. It's merely trying to understand what the other person thinks and feels. You might be wrong, and you'll likely never have the entire picture, but everyone has to start somewhere. And the more you get curious about the other party, the more accurate you will be. So, who in your life might you have more empathy for? And what might you gain out of extending it? That's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Inner Monster podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to check out all of our other episodes wherever you get your podcasts or visit innermonsterpodcast.com. And if you feel so inclined, please spread the word and share this with a friend, or leave a review, or subscribe to get the podcast each week, every Inner Monster Monday. And now, a quick word from our sponsors. If you want to hear Inner Monster podcast episodes before anyone else, consider joining my Patreon at patreon.com/rickkitagawa, where you can get ad-free episodes, discounts on creepy art, and even coaching packages. That's patreon.com/rickkitagawa. I hope to see you there. Thank you so much, and I hope you have a monstrous day.